clouds arise, obscuring the brightness of light. I'm never alarmed at the overcast skies. The master looks on at the strife. Well, I'm living by faith in Jesus above. Oh, trusting, confiding in His great love. And from all hearts sheltering all, well, I'm living by faith, and I feel no alarm. Verse 3. I know that He safely will carry me through, no matter what evils betide. Why should I then care, though the tempest may blow, if Jesus walks close by my side? And I'm living by faith in Jesus above. Oh, trusting, and I feel no alarm. Sing verse 4. Well, our Lord will return to this earth some sweet day. Our troubles will then all be o'er. The Master so gently will lead us away beyond that blessed heavenly shore. And I'm living by faith in Jesus above. Oh, trusting, confiding in His great love. Glad you're resting in His arms. Amen. Don't you love Him? Hallelujah. It's good to see each and every one in the house of the Lord tonight. Amen. We're just glad you're here with us. Amen. We want to take advantage of this opportunity. Amen. And give God some glory tonight. Amen. Are you with me? Amen. I know there's not too many here tonight, but where two or three are gathered in His name, amen, He's in our midst. Is that right? Amen. Why don't we sing this song together through it all? I've had many tears and sorrows. I've had questions for tomorrow. And many times I didn't know right from wrong. Every situation gave me blessed consolation that my trials only come to make me strong. Sing with me now. Oh, through I've learned to trust in Jesus. Oh, I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, oh, through it all, well, I've learned to depend upon His word. Listen up. Been a lot of places, and I've seen a lot of faces. There were times I felt so all alone. But in my lonely hours, all those precious lonely hours, Jesus let me know that I am His own. Hallelujah. Oh, through it all, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. Oh, I've learned to trust in God. And through it all, so I thank Him for the mountain, and I thank Him for the valley, and I thank Him for storms He brought me through. And if I never had a problem, how would I know that God could solve them? How could I know what faith in God could do? Sing it now with all your hearts. Oh, through it all, through it all, I learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, through it all, I've learned to depend upon His word. Let's sing the song, The Power of Your Love, same key. Lord, I've come to You, let my mind be changed, renewed and flowing from the grace that I found in I've come to know the weaknesses I see in me will be stripped away by the power of Your love. And oh, let Your love surround me. Oh, breathe, be near and draw me to Your side. And now,
água sobre ti. Your spirit leads me all in the power of your love. Lord, unveil my eyes, let me see you face to face. The knowledge of your love has by the power of your love. Oh, Jesus, hold me close and let your love surround me and bring me near and draw me side. And that highway, I'll rise up like the eagle, and I will soar with you. Your spirit leads me on in the power of your love. And I will soar with you. Your spirit leads me on in the power of your love. I stand in awe of you. Sing with me now. Oh, I stand in awe of you. Holy God, to whom all praise is due, I stand in awe of you. You are beautiful beyond description, too marvelous. Like nothing ever seen or heard. Oh, who can grasp your infinite wisdom? Come on now with all your heart. Who can fathom the depths of your love? Oh God, you are beautiful beyond description. Your majesty enthroned above. And I stand in awe of you, Jesus. I stand in awe of you. Holy God, to whom all praise is due, oh, I stand in awe. Sing it again now with all your hearts. Hallelujah. And I stand in awe of you. Oh, I stand. In awe of you, holy God, to whom all praise is due,
just praise you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. We just invite your presence, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. I think it would be appropriate at this time to change the order of the service and take our needs before the altar. Amen. I know the Holy Spirit is pleased with your worship. Amen. I can just feel his presence here tonight. Amen. What an awesome God we serve. Amen. Hallelujah. We just want to remember these needs in prayer tonight. Amen. We mentioned them many times. Amen. But we want to continue to hold these folks up in prayer. We're continuing to remember Brother Ron Spencer in prayer. Amen. With the issue he's dealing with his lungs. Amen. We want to just keep on praying for our brother. He's had a long road. He's fought a lot of battles. Amen. But I know God can bring him through this trial. Amen. He's faithful and brought us through many others. Amen. As we sing the song a moment ago, through it all. Amen. God can bring us through that. Pray for Brother Larry. Continue to hold him up. Amen. He's been through a rough battle. Amen. But I know he'll come out victorious. Amen. Hold Brother Anna, or Brother Ethan and Sister Anna up in your prayers. Amen. Amen. Dealing with the loss of their child. Amen. I know that's very hard. Amen. But I pray that God would bring them peace. Amen. So let's keep them in your prayers. Our heart goes out to them in their time. Amen. I want to remember the McCafferty family in prayer. Sister Abigail and little Emma, that you would keep them in prayer. I think the family's been dealing with some sickness. So pray for them. Amen. I want to pray for Sister Sarah Buchanan. Amen. As she is going through that surgery there, we want to keep her in her prayers. Please remember Brother Dennis Shepherd in prayer with his heart condition. Amen. God would bring him through that trial. Amen. Brother Brian McCall was not able to be with us tonight and asked to be remembered. He was having to work. I want to remember the Clayvilles. They were traveling. Keep them in your prayers. And amen. Remember the Drum family. They're out sick tonight. So let's keep them in your prayers. There's many other folks that are not with us at this time. And I know that their heart's desire would be to worship with us. Amen. And we miss them when they're away. Amen. It's like a part of the body is missing. Amen. So let's hold them in prayer. I'd like to ask Brother Mark Sylvester if he would come forward at this time. And we'll take these needs before the Lord. And if you have unspoken prayer requests, you can make them known at this time. Amen. And we'll be praying with you for those needs. Amen.
Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, it's good to be in your house, Lord, this evening. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege you've given us, Lord, where we can gather together. Draw strength from your word, Lord. Be encouraged, be uplifted. Lord, be an encouragement, Lord, to one another, Lord. And lift up, Lord, glory and praise to you, Lord, because thou art worthy. Lord, we thank you, Lord, as we sang tonight. Lord, we stand in awe of you, Father. Lord, we think about you, Lord, your amazing grace and your mercy that you have extended to us, Father. Lord, we're thankful that you said in your not to come and understand why, Lord, or figure out these things, Lord, but just believe. And Lord, you provided grace and mercy, and we accept it, Lord. We spurn it not, Father. And we thank you for that. Lord, these requests that was made known, Lord, many desperate ones, our brother Spencer, Lord. We pray that you will touch him, O God. Lord, and there's no little thing or big thing, Lord, that you can't heal or address, Lord, whatever it may be, Lord. You're a mighty God. You create all things. You know all things, Lord, and you can heal still, Father, and we believe that, and we come asking for our brethren, Lord, who are sick, Father, those who the enemy has afflicted, Father. We pray that you will raise him up for your glory, Father. Grant it, Lord. Father, we pray and thank you, Lord, for bringing us through this week, and we pray you will take us through, Father, till we come again, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you breed a preacher tonight, Father. You know exactly what we have need of, Lord, and you can go down, Lord, to the marrow of the bone, your word says, and Lord, bring out those things that even we ourselves, Lord, may not know that's there, Father. So speak to us tonight, Lord. That's our desire, Father, that we meet with you and you come. We can feel your presence already, Lord, and we thank you for that. We give thee all glory and praise, O God. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Mark. You can have your seats. Amen. Brother Keith has a special for us tonight. Amen. As he's preparing there, just have a short announcement. There's going to be a youth event for the youth, 13 to 17 years of age, this Saturday evening at 5 p.m. here in the Fellowship Hall. And if you'll just let Brother Steve or Sister Sarah know if you're going to be there, that would be nice. Thank you.
Amen. I'd sung this song a couple weeks ago and I'd had a request to sing it again, so just pray for me. My throat's a little bit under the weather, but I'm not going to let that stop. If I yodel, just yodel with me. Anyway. It used to be when I was sinning, Satan stood off somewhere grinning as the pleasures that he brought just turned on me. The teardrops came like rain a falling till I heard my Savior calling. If you can't go on anymore, just lean on me. Well, I won't walk without Jesus, and I won't talk without Jesus, and I refuse to live one day before. Well, it ain't so without Jesus. I just go without Jesus, and everything that I would do, I just won't do without the Lord. A beggar lame at the gate was sitting, and all of his life he'd been regretting, 'cause he never stood or took a stroll down the street. Then Peter and John happened by his way. Look upon us, old Peter did say. Rise up and walk in the name of the Lord. And he leaped to his feet. Oh, I won't walk without Jesus, and I won't talk without Jesus, and I refuse to live one day as before. Oh, it just ain't so without Jesus. I just won't go without Jesus, and everything that I would do, I just won't do without the Lord. No, I won't walk without Jesus, and I won't talk without Jesus, and I refuse to live one day as before. Well, it just ain't so without Jesus. I just won't go without Jesus, and everything that I would do, I just won't do without the Lord. No, everything that I would do, I just won't do without the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Keith, for that. That's special. Amen. Let's stand. Have our deacons come forward this evening and we'll take up our offering. Amen. I'd like to sing that song, His Strength is Perfect, just before our pastor makes his way. Brother Tom, would you lead us in prayer, sir? I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. But sometimes I wonder what He can do through me. No great success to show, no glory of my own, yet in my weakness He is there to let me know. His strength is perfect when our strength is gone. He'll carry us when we cannot carry on. Raised in His power, the weak become strong. His strength is perfect. Is perfect, and we can only know the power that He holds when we truly see how deep our weakness goes. Amen. His strength, it must begin when ours comes to an end. And He hears our humble cry and proves again. His strength is perfect when our strength is gone. He'll carry us.
To bring a couple of prayer requests before you this evening here, and just a couple of reminders here, and then we'll sing one more little chorus here. Just a reminder, this is the weekend that we sign up for the deadline for the sign up for the marriage week, Why don't I start again? This is the weekend where the deadline is for us to sign up for the marriage banquet. So if you have not signed up, please do it by the weekend. And that would be greatly appreciated. And spread the word so that other folks might have an opportunity. We are going to do something very different at this marriage banquet. So the topic or the title or the theme is going to be words. And we're going to be dealing with some practical issues there in the marriage banquet. It's funny, I was letting ministers know today, and I was texting them so that they would tell their congregations, and ministers are allowed to come free, you know, if they're full-time ministers. And one brother said, well, he said, I don't see who's listed as the speaker. Who's the guest speaker, he says, because that, you know, that will affect things. And I said, well, yours truly. And he just texted back and said, oh. We want to remember Brother Troy and Sister Connie tonight. They're home. They've just been exhausted. It's been an exhausting time with their brother, with her brother. And they're talking about doing a little memorial. I don't have any other details yet, but they're listening tonight, so we certainly do miss them. The Cockmans are also home tonight. This is the day that Ryder flew to California. And so it's been an exhausting day for them emotionally. It was the relative who came in from California flew in yesterday, flew out like 6 o'clock this morning out of Charlotte. And so it's just been a very exhausting day for them. This is also Sister Jennifer's birthday today. And so they're gathered with family, just catching up tonight. I was with Brother Larry Pruitt this afternoon. We visited together and prayed together, and he was just sharing with me that he had the second operation done on his cataracts and his eyes. He's got a couple of days, about a week or so, and then once the swelling goes down, he's going to be able to drive again. He's just really excited about that so that he can get out and about. He looked good. He sounded good. He's still going through the chemotherapy, and he has one more treatment, and then they're going to do another scan to see how things are going. So that's something that you can certainly keep in prayer. Sister Shirley Lingle called me today. Her brother-in-law passed away, Gene Lingle. He was 79 years old. They hadn't known anything about a heart problem. He was outside working and cleaning up and just fell over, passed away immediately with a heart attack. And so their family is going through the process now of dealing with that and the funeral. So we sure want to hold them up in prayer. That's a difficult thing to go through when it's so sudden. So if you don't mind remembering those things together and keep them on your heart, let's stand to our feet again tonight, and we'll take the Bible, if you don't mind. We'll go to Romans chapter 14, and we'll read there. Before we read, let's sing that little chorus, He is good, He is good, His love endures forever. Let's sing that this evening. He is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. He is good. He is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks for together now tonight, and it just seems like, Lord, that the number of prayer requests and the intensity of these prayer requests just seems to be increasing. I believe it's a time, Lord, when there's great stress, great trouble, great turmoil. Even the scripture said that men's hearts will be failing them for fear. And so, Father, tonight we bind our hearts together, Lord, on behalf of those who are suffering tonight, those who are sick and need your help. They need a physical touch, Lord, more than medicine, more than a doctor's touch. They need the touch of the great physician. We thank you, Lord, for all the medical technology and all the medicines and, Lord, the access we have to the knowledge, Lord, that we enjoy today. But, Lord, we know that there is a greater source, Lord, and a fountain that never runs dry. And we just thank you, Lord, that we have access to that. We think, Lord, of Ethan and Anna tonight. We bind our hearts together, Lord, and just pray that your holy presence, Lord, would just surround them and give them comfort, Lord. Just give them, I pray, the peace that only the Prince of Peace can give. Lord Jesus, we'll give you thanks and praise and ask that you would just bless this little time together tonight. And may, Lord, our study be, may it be thorough, but Lord, we ask that you would just come and anoint the word that it might just be something that sticks in our hearts, Lord. Have your way, we pray, in Jesus' lovely name. Amen. And amen. Let's take your Bible. Let's go to Romans chapter 14, and we'll read there tonight as we begin. Romans, the 14th chapter. I'd like to say I appreciate all of you being here tonight. I know it's Wednesday night. I know there are lots of things that that are pressing, but it is good to have all of you here tonight. Romans chapter 14. Good to have Brother John Harwell back. And Peter and Rachel and just each one. May the Lord bless you. Let's read in Romans chapter 14, verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and the things wherewith one may edify the other. And may the Lord add his blessing. You may be seated. I intentionally chose this screen here today because when we use the word peace, we often think of a lack of noise and a lack of turmoil, a lack of trouble. And in the Bible, that's really not what peace is. Peace is not a lack of anything. Peace is rather a person. Peace is not a lack of something. Peace is a person. And we define peace just a little bit differently. Now, it was just amazing to me, and somebody made this comment this week about, you know, just so many things that are happening. And they said in one of their texts to me, they said, you know, may the Lord give us all wisdom to know how to deal with the things that are taking place. And I thought to myself, wow, that's quite a request. That's quite a statement. Really, because I believe that as we go further in time and further towards the time when the bride is taken away, things are not going to get easier in a sense that there'll be less stress or less pressure. You had to remember that the way Brother Branham described it, we are being pressurized to leave here. And the way you're pressurized is to have the pressure turned up. I've never been in outer space yet. But I've been deep in the water, and they say that when astronauts are training to go up into space, they go down in very deep pools so they can get accustomed to the change in pressure. And the change in pressure is very great. And even I remember one time that Lucas and I were out, and I may have told you this one time, and he always wanted to ride on a Sea-Doo. He always wanted to ride a Sea-Doo. And, you know, that's not something that I really was enthusiastic about, but he always wanted to ride one. So we were at a place one time where there was Sea-Doos available, and I finally said, well, all right, let's just do it one time. Let's just make a quick trip, just a little trip. That's all on this Sea-Doo. So we rented one and went out in the ocean, and it was very calm, so it looked pretty safe to me. And not having ever ridden a Sea-Doo before, he figured he could just... Now, he wasn't 17 yet, so I had to ride on it with him, unfortunately. And what was really funny also, I just had... Sorry, I'm into this now. I can't stop now, so I gotta add the details. On a rented machine like that, there's a kill switch. And the kill switch is tied to somebody's wrist so that if you fall off the Sea-Doo, then the wrist strap pulls the key out and the Sea-Doo will go dead in the water. So that's the kill switch, and you got to have one. Because he was not licensed, he couldn't have the kill switch. I had to have the kill switch. So, anyway, there was a kill switch. So Lucas figures that, all right, you know, we were puttering around just a little bit and just, you know, moving around, and both of us had to have life jackets on. We're just puttering around. Finally he figures, okay, if this is okay, then we can really, you know, gun this thing and let it go. So he just floors it. He hits it with his thumb and floors it. Well, I wasn't expecting that, not at all. I mean, he didn't indicate that he was going to do that to me. I went flying off the back of the Sea-Doo. Now, this is the correction. He had the kill switch because he was driving. He had it on his hand. And I go in a tumble, oh, head over heels. Wouldn't you love to have been there and seen that? And gone back down into the water. And now, we're out in the ocean here. Now, I don't mind that because, I know how to swim, and so it's not a problem. Anyway, so I'm out there bombing around, and he's gone. Because he doesn't have the kill switch. I don't have the kill switch. He does. He's gone. And for some reason or another, he figured in the difference in the weight on the Sea-Doo. He turned around, and there I was in the water bobbing around, waving at him, you know, hello, hello, I'm back here. And so he turned around and came back and got me. Then just as I was going to get on, I realized, my goodness, I don't have my glasses. My glasses fell off on the impact when I hit the water. And I thought, oh, wow. So I looked around. I actually put my face down in the water to try to see crystal clear water. And I'm looking down on the bottom, and I see the glasses. I actually caught sight of them there on the bottom. And I thought, oh, well, you know, this is not a problem. I'll go for it. And I do a flip like you're supposed to when you go down underneath the water. And I'm just, you know, swimming away trying to get down there. And my face is under the water. But after a while, I realize I got a life jacket on. So it's really hard for me. By that time, I thought, well, okay, I'll take the life jacket off. And I begin to go down. And the depth of the water in a situation like that sometimes is very deceiving. And so I got down. After a while, I figured, you know what? This is probably not worth it because the pressure is very great down here. So, and I was not even halfway down. And so I decided to come back up. Well, the end of the story was that, he got his money's worth. He got to drive it and so forth. And I just cried the whole time when I was on there. And we got back in. I had to go back. what was really funny is that we had to go to somewhere now to get new glasses because I didn't have any. And with my eyes full of salt water and not having my glasses, it's a little difficult to drive. Plus, we were in a town that we're not normally accustomed to. So I said to him, I said, look, we got to go find a glasses place. So you're going to have to tell me when to turn and when to, you know, where to go, like, because I can't see. So he was too young to drive. So he said, all right, Dad, slow down. And go faster. Turn right, turn left, turn right. So, you know, by God's grace, we got there. I mean, that's what the grace of God is for situations like that. And so we got into a place, and they fixed me up with a pair of glasses. And at the end of it, I said, you know, to the lady, I said, yeah, I feel so foolish because I, you know, this is, you know, it was a mistake, you know, and I just feel really bad. She said, you have no idea how many people come in here and tell us exactly the same thing, that they did the same thing and they lose their glasses. And I felt instantly really good about that. Pressure changes very dramatically. And it can change dramatically in a very short period of time. It doesn't take much distance for the atmosphere to change. If you go hiking with Andy Irish and you're up and down in the in the canyons, the pressure will change. That's not the only kind of pressure that you have when you go hiking with Brother Andy. But in our world, things can change very quickly. We've experienced that. You know, it's almost like every day you wake up and you wonder, what's the day going to bring? What's it going to include? And there are pressures that are inherent with just living in this world. Now, you remember I spoke just a little while ago and we were talking about the favor of God. The favor of God is a great thing. It's a wonderful thing how God will bless a people or a family or an individual. The favor of God is a great thing, and it is very honoring. But we also know, too, that the favor of God brings with it a kind of a problem or pressure. It's inherent in it. So, for instance, I gave a couple of examples, and this was maybe a month or two ago, and we were talking about how that Mary was sovereignly chosen of God to bring forth the Christ child into the world. And God came to her, the angel came to her and said, Mary, thou art highly favored by God. In other words, of all the women, all the girls on the earth that God could have chosen, he didn't. He chose you, and you're favored by God. But that brought with it a skepticism that a lot of people had about what really happened. And there's probably people that looked at her from all the way from that point till the time that she died, wondering whether that story was ever actually true. Or you think about Joseph, how that Joseph was favored of his father. And that cost him something. Even though he was blessed in many ways, it cost him something great. All the trouble and the trials that he had and his brothers and how they treated him. But much of that happened because he was actually favored by God. Or we went back to the book of Acts and how that, when the disciples came out from the upper room and they were going to the temple and they prayed for that man who was lame, and the Pharisees immediately they spotted that and they began to question them, and they said, they took note that they had been with Jesus, and they pressured them and put them in front of the council, and they warned them not to preach or teach again in the name of this Jesus, and sent them on their way. And Peter even goes back in Acts chapter 4 and he describes out of the scripture how that the kings and the rulers and the priests and all the people of Israel would be gathered against the Christ and his child. And Peter says, why do the heathen rage? He said, this is the fulfillment of that scripture. And it's not because they were doing anything wrong, but it's rather because they were favored. And with the favor, the enemy seems to attack more fervently because a person is favored. You would think by now Satan would get the message, but he doesn't. And so there are many trials and many afflictions that we go through that are just inherent in living the Christian life. You know what? No matter how bad things become, or no matter how tight the squeeze is, I'd still rather be a Christian. I'd still rather live the Christian life, wouldn't you? I'd rather walk this way than any other way. I've been out in the world and walked all around the earth and all the different things that you can do out there. Let me tell you, my only regret has always been that I didn't turn to Christ earlier. I didn't surrender earlier in my life and give my strength and my days to him. And now, to have some of those years back would be just absolutely wonderful. I'd certainly enjoy that. But nonetheless, I still would rather take this, even if things happen that we do not understand, even if trials come that we cannot anticipate, even when, or your children won't do what they're told, and even when your parents won't do what they're told. It's still consoling to know that, our strength doesn't lie in us, and it doesn't have to lie in us, but our strength lies in him. Let me give away the end of the story here, and this is something you know. In letting off the pressure in 1962, and then the nervous, neurotic age that we're living in, doctors don't have the answer, but God has the answer. And that's what we want to talk about. God's got the answer. Say it with me. God's got the answer. And he is the answer. Christ is the answer to every problem we've got. That's worth saying, too. Christ is the answer to every problem we've got. Say it with me. Christ is the answer to every problem we've got. Now, when we say every this time, say it real loud. Christ is the answer to every problem we've got. That's pretty all-inclusive. I mean, that gets everything, right? That gets everything. We've defined the word peace many times. Shalom or Salam is the greeting that is still used in the Middle East. It's a very common word. It means to be complete and sound. It means that your welfare is good, not government welfare. That you will have peace. You will be complete. It can be complex but whole. It's all there. Trust your day is good. And Irene or Arene is the Greek word in the New Testament that we find, and it means quietness or at one or at rest. We get our word, our English word, serene from this. Now, there's three elements of this, and they're not to be minimized at all. Let me just say this, that there's a peace that we long for, and a peace that comes when a nation is at rest, or nations are at rest with one another. That's not the case in the world that we live in. They're moving that hand of the clock closer to midnight all the time. Even if it's just by seconds, they're moving it closer. There are loose cannons out there. There are some people who have a hair trigger, and they know that there are situations and circumstances that are mounting that could cause the world to change quite differently. So we don't live in an atmosphere of peace. Even when communities are at peace, we are better off. I remember when we had the shooting up in Virginia Tech years ago, and you don't think of that in your own community. You don't think of that in your own area because it very seldom, thankfully, it very seldom happens. And you see it on the news, and you can read about it in the newspaper or on the internet, and you see it, and it's always at arm's length. It's always somewhere else. When it happens in your own community, though, it's a very different thing. When it happens right around you, it's a very different atmosphere altogether. And I was really struck by how it affected everyone and everything in our area. There was a darkness. It was almost like there was a fog. A fog you couldn't see over our whole community. It just locked up our whole community. And there was a spirit of fear and a mourning that was there. And I remember there was brothers in other parts of Virginia. Brother Mike Walls called me on that day. And he was in Washington, you know, in Manassas out there. And he called me and he said, "What's going on in your area?" And I said, "Well, there's lots happening here." This is in the middle of the day. "There's lots happening here." I said, "Why are you asking?" He said, "Because our area is on alert and sending all kinds of police and soldiers and so forth all down to Virginia Tech, down to your way in Blacksburg." He said, "Our whole community up here is affected by what's happening down here." And so there's an atmosphere. There's an unrest that is very real. When it comes to nations and communities and even international events. If you don't mind, take your Bible. I don't have this on the screen here, but let's just go to 1 Kings chapter 4 just for a moment here. Is it all right if we study a little bit tonight? Is that all right? I trust we'll be able to say something that might help. 1 Kings chapter 4, that's always the goal. 1 Kings, the fourth chapter here in verse 24. This is Solomon's, part of Solomon's reign, for he had dominion over all the region on this side of the river, from Tipshah even to Aza, over all the kings on this side of the river, and he had peace on all sides round about him. And Judah and Israel dwelt safely, every man under his vine and under his fig tree, from Dan to Beersheba. That's the north of Israel in Dan to the very south in Beersheba, all the days of Solomon. And Solomon had 40,000 stalls of horses and so forth all the way down through there. This is just simply a space in time where God blesses that nation under the leadership of Solomon to type the millennium that one day would happen for us. So when you read about a situation like this where a whole nation is at peace with itself and all the nations round about it are at peace, it is just one of the very few places where in Scripture God just gives everyone their favor and peace and an atmosphere of, rest, if you like. And it's only simply a type of the millennium. So the days of Solomon, they never had to amass armies and go to war. God allowed them a season to build a temple. And after that, of course, Solomon, he did some things that obviously did not, you know, continue to allow God to bless him. But, the things changed then pretty quickly after the days of Solomon. But it was a time there where God just favored the whole nation. When the nation's at rest, my goodness, it's a wonderful feeling. When the nation is not at rest, there's a different kind of a feeling altogether. The second thing, the second part of the shalom idea is this idea of spiritual peace and a spiritual unity among believers and among the body of Christ, among the bride all over the earth. If you don't mind, let's go to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. Now, the book of Acts, as you know, is a book of action. It's the book of action of the Holy Spirit within the church. And whenever the Holy Spirit acts, whenever he demonstrates his power and his presence, there are enemies. This is the time when Paul is converted in Acts chapter 9. This is the story and here in the beginning of the chapter where Ananias is involved and so forth. And when Paul comes through his conversion experience in verse 20, straight away he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. You got to kind of go back in time for a minute and look at this. Here's the man who was known for the persecution of the church. He's known for doing everything he possibly could against the people of God and the name of Jesus Christ. He's one of the ringleaders in all of that. And very well known in his community. And now all of a sudden he's in the synagogue preaching that Christ, that Jesus was the Son of God. And 21, but all that heard it were amazed and said, is not this he that destroyed them, which called on this name in Jerusalem and came hither for that intent that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is the very Christ. And after many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. It's amazing. Here's a person that is converted, and he's preaching like he is, but there's an enemy that rises up, because that's always the way that Satan responds to this. And so just drop down in the chapter, just for time's sake here, in verse 29. And he spoke boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed among the Grecians, but they went about to slay him, which, when the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him forth to Tarsus. And then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria and were edified. And walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit were multiplied. Now that doesn't continue on forever, but God gives them a space where there's a peace and there's a rest among the people. And it's a wonderful thing when the church, you know, pulls together and, God allows them that season to grow. I believe we've been in that season. I believe we're moving out of that season just generally, but I believe we've been in that season where our own worst enemies have been ourselves in the message. We haven't had the government locking our doors, and we haven't had people breaking out the windows, thank God. We haven't had people trying to burn down the church or the Jesuits here knocking or burning crosses on our front lawn. We haven't had any of that at all. So in a sense, persecution from the outside has been non-existent for us in this season that God has given for us to mature. Right? And to ripen in the presence of God. I believe that's what's happened. And you know what? We've caught up with the revelation that God allowed, a prophet to bring in our time. I believe Brother Branham was a man born out of due season. In other words, he had a revelation and an understanding that we're only catching up to now 50 years later. Really? And that is due to the fact that God has allowed us a season in the harvest time, you know, to be able to get all the foolishness baked out of us and all the ripening and maturing that goes on among the people of God. And I thank God for that time of peace. I'd rather have that than times of turmoil and persecution. We know that persecution doesn't put people in or out of the message, generally, put them in or out of the faith at all, because if you've got it, you've got it, no matter whether times are good or times are not so good. Right? If you've got it, you got it. And we'll find out who's got it before all this is actually over. But the third part that we want to talk about is this shalom, or the peace that a person has when they have a personal rest with God. And the belief that they are right with God. The belief that if I died tonight, if I my life was, this was my last sermon, I better do real well. But if this was my last sermon, that I would have the consolation that I would know where I was going when I left here. And that's what the peace of God is about. But again now, you know, we live in a world where ideally, you know, if we are God's children, if He's predestinated us and we are truly converted, filled with the Holy Spirit, on our way to glory, just waiting for the change and a few world events to catch up and Israel to come to its place, then, you know, you would think that the devil would roll over and say, well, I'm not going to do anything to those guys. I might just well go and make the governments worse and trade worse and all the other things that that are bad out there. But he doesn't. He tries to throw everything he can in our way to try to hinder and disrupt this personal peace that we have been given as a benefit of a new birth with God. He's trying to do everything he possibly can to do that. Now, let's just deal with this just for a little bit here. Brother Branham says in the message, Shalom, and he deals specifically with this now on all three levels here. He says, in the church, the reason I'd say Shalom to them is because it's God's peace. And now we can see it breaking over the horizontal realm or the horizontal realm. It's breaking between mortal and immortality. That between the heavens and the earth, between the chaos of this world, he says it in the next paragraph, we see it breaking between heavens and earth from an earthbound sickness and troubled world into a bright shining day of an immortal life and an immortal body, an immortal earth that shall never pass away. So between those two realms, the realm of heaven where we'll go and the realm of this earth where we are, there's something breaking in here, right in the middle of that. And he says, with that, there comes a message of peace to the people of God. I was looking at, I follow the whole thing in Wuhan, China, very closely because of the things that happened previously in 1918 and so on with the flu and the influenza. And you may think this is really strange, but that's a personal interest of mine. I'm always, when the flu season starts, I'm always interested in finding the index case, you know, who's the first. But anyway, nonetheless, there was a thing on the news where there was, on the internet, where there was a drone that flew over Wuhan. And they were showing the city today. And it was just eerie because there was maybe one car on a very busy 8 or 10 lane stretch of highway, and they went right down near the airport in the front. There was an international airport, very big. I think there's 6 or 8 million people who live in that city, and there was nobody in the airport. They let the drone inside, and there was nobody in there at all. It was just very eerie because you knew that the only reason they're not there is because the government has absolutely forced them to stay off the streets and stay in their house. So you can look at it and see it one way, but beneath the surface, there's all of this turmoil that's there, and people who are dying, and people who are sick, and people who are very afraid of getting sick. And so we live in a world where, you know, it can look one way. It can look like, well, you know, you go down to Walmart, and everybody's going to Walmart, and you can look at, the busy streets. Everybody goes to work. Everybody goes to school. Everybody conducts their business and so on. And it looks a certain way on the surface. But beneath that, there are things that are, there are forces that are operating. There are things that are moving this entire world into a place of darkness and moving it to tribulation all the time. But thank God, there is this message of peace that Brother Branham describes here that's coming, that's breaking between this realm and that realm that we're going to. A message that broke in right into that darkness, and resounds very loudly, Shalom, to the people of God who can catch it, those that have an ear to hear in this last day. I'm glad I'm one of those people that has an ear to hear. And God sent a message, a very simple message that did not have, a lot of technology or expertise behind how it was marketed or distributed or anything else. But you know what? God knew exactly what He was doing and knew exactly how to get it to me and to you. And we heard that voice, and you know what? My sheep hear my voice, and a stranger they won't follow. And so when you realize that God sent this message to get us from this realm to that realm over there and to bring us into that kingdom, it's a feeling of peace. Even in the midst of turmoil, even in the midst of all the trouble, and he says right here, it's, you know, earthbound sickness, troubled world, he said there's a bright shining day that we're going to. So it is not an absence of sickness. And it's not an absence of disobedience. It's not an absence of political unrest. It's not an absence of national debt. We're surrounded by it. We're surrounded by the potential for war. We're surrounded by the potential of unrest in our nation even. We are surrounded by lots of things here. It's not an absence of anything that creates peace in our heart. It's the person of Christ. Christ in me. That gives me a peace that no matter what circumstance I find myself in, no matter how far we go up this road, and no matter how far we get into the darkness, or how pervasive that darkness becomes, hey, listen, I'm not depending on the circumstances to have a feeling of peace, but rather I know the Prince of Peace, and that's what matters. Does that make sense? That's very elementary, and I don't mean to be deep at all or anything complicated tonight. Watch what he says. It's shalom unto the church. Now it's light time coming for the believers, but gross darkness for the people. Darkness covers the earth, gross darkness covers the people. And that's the way that it is. In John chapter 14, sorry for the crowded screen here, Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that I will manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? And Jesus answered him, and he said, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. And these things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. There will be a continuity in the message, but there'll be a difference in the venue. There'll be a difference in the way God's going to deal with you and God's going to speak with you. There's a difference in the way it's all going to happen. But the message is going to be in continuity. In other words, he's not going to say anything different than what I've said. He's going to take you on in the light. He's going to take you on in the truth here. And he's going to take you on in the faith. He says, even though I personally, physically won't be with you like I am now, but he will come and he will be with you even in you. And he will teach you and bring you all things to your remembrance. He said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So the benefit, if you like, or the effect of all of this is a peace that only you get when you're reconciled with God. You don't have real peace when you're not reconciled with God. If you're not reconciled with God, you'll always be wondering what's on the other side of the fence. You'd always be wondering what's happening out there. You'll be looking for other things to do away from the presence of God. But when you're reconciled with God, then you long for that presence, and that's where the peace of God actually comes, right? And God can deal with us in there. God can provide good things for us in there. So, if that's true, Brother Branham said that don't let the sun rise on you until something's anchored in your heart. Don't go another day. In other words, that until you're a Christian, that you're at peace with your enemy and you're at peace with God. Wow. Don't go another day until you're anchored and you're at peace with your enemy and you're at peace with God. Don't give me a show of hands, but every one of us probably can identify an enemy. Therefore, Brother Branham quotes the scripture in Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. But remember now, the focus here is not just on peace with God. If you have enmity against some neighbor, against somebody else that's done you harm in your heart, and you can't love that person, don't take that experience. You know what? It's easy to take that. It's easy to say, well, you know what? They hate me. I'm not going to have anything to do with them. And they despise me. They don't understand me. They've misrepresented me or they criticize me greatly. Left our church, gone to do this, gone to do something else. And Brother Bram says, when it comes to that place, he says, and in your heart, you can't love that person, don't take that experience. You must love those who do not love you. If you love those who love you, sinners do the same. That's easy. But you've got now not to just act like it's a religious act. Oh, brother, love you. Appreciate you. But from your heart, you have to. The only way from your heart you can really express that level of forgiveness and love to another person is when you put it in actions. Because we all will say things. We know the lingo, right? We know the language. But it's when you start to act in a way that you have a feeling for this person like you would somebody who is your favorite or somebody who is your dear friend. And you're there to pick up for them. You're there to help them in a time of trouble. You're there to give an offering or write a check. You know, if there's a need there, the car breaks down or something else. It's not just, hey, be praying for you and love you, buddy. It's, you know, you're willing to kind of take off your jacket and go the extra mile and give them your jacket as well and write the check or be there to help them out. You're actually putting feet on this kind of expression. And he says, Christ will give you that. Reconciling with God will give you that. But Brother Bam's also giving us something in here that we got to understand, and that is that there will be offenses. There will be issues that come. There will be enemies that don't want to see you succeed. There will be people there that will criticize you. And I think it's a good thing. It's a good thing when we recognize that there's nothing in my heart really that wants to hold anyone back. You put your head on the pillow at the end of the day and you're able and willing to pray for anybody and everybody. And that's a good evidence that you've got a peace with God, is when you can have a peace with everybody else. You say, Brother Barry, the wounds are still fresh. Well, there are times when it takes reconciling, and it takes time to get to that place, and it takes time to, you know, reach out to that person. You know, we are never, ever responsible for another person's reaction, how they will respond to what we do. I've reached out to people before, and ones that they never expected. I remember there was a group of people that left my church, and they started another church. This was up in Ohio. Started another church. And they didn't really know how to set up the church. They didn't know how to get it going administratively and how to start things off. And so one thing led to another, and I wound up talking to this brother who led that group of my sheep off. And he got talking to me about the church and how they were struggling to kind of set it up. And I said, well, hey, would it be all right if I helped you? And they said, yeah. And I don't think they really trusted that offer of help, but I did. I set them up. The church didn't last, but it wasn't because of the administrative part. It wasn't because, hey, believe me, listen, don't laugh. That's not the right time to laugh. I set it up to succeed, not to fail. I can't believe you don't trust me. Huh. You got to love those who love you. And that's not always an easy thing. I'll move on. The enemy works hard. The enemy works hard to keep us under stress and anxiety, to limit our expression and to limit our worship. Remember now, Satan can't take away what God's eternally placed within you, right? But he can bring anxiety, and he can bring stress, and he can bring disagreement into your life to alter or limit the expression we should have to God and the enthusiasm that we have for God. Because when that happens, when anxiety comes in, you know what? We think more about survival than we do about joy. And faith. And the joy of the Lord is our strength, isn't it? And when we buy into anxiety, in other words, when we allow anxiety to take over and we fret and we think about, well, what about this and what about that and what about something else, we're buying into something that's inferior to what God has given you in the new birth. In the new birth, He's given us peace and joy, long-suffering, right? Temperance, meekness, faith, right? Somebody say amen. All of those things are included in the characteristics of the stature of a perfect man. But when we give in to anxiety, and anxiety and worry is not in there, it's not in that list. But when we dwell on that, then we're buying into something that's inferior to what God's actually placed within us. and you're dropping down to another level, and it doesn't mean that you've lost anything, but you're dropping down to a level and dealing with things on that level instead of the level here that God's ordained you to dwell on, and that is a level where victory and joy and peace and love and forgiveness and all those other things are attributes that should be on display. But when we deal with anxiety and worry and fear, we drop down to another level, and we're always on the defensive. Just take your Bible for a minute and go to Philippians, the fourth chapter. Philippians chapter 4. Paul tells us what to buy into. If you buy into a stock or a fund or a mutual fund or something like that, when you buy into it, it means you buy a portion of it. You're always watching that thing to see how it's going to grow. You don't want to see how it's failing. You want to see how it's growing, right? Because you got skin in that game. You got a part in that. And you want to see the development of it. Here's what Paul says in Philippians, the fourth chapter. Sorry, I don't have my Bible. In verse 6, be careful for nothing. And that word carefully means worry. The word worry there is the root word of the word strangle, which is interesting. Because when people get overly worried about everything, it's like, you know, it's tough to do anything. You're strangled in weeds in the if you're swimming and you get strangled in the weeds, you get caught in the weeds there. You just can't get anywhere. And it can be pretty dangerous. But he says, be careful for nothing. Worry about nothing. Nothing. Everybody say it. Nothing. Be careful for nothing. Well, let's all say it. Be careful for nothing. Worry is a whole lot like sitting in a rocking chair. You're working all day and you're getting nowhere. There's all kinds of movement, but no one's going anywhere, right, when you're in a rocking chair. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, that's asking, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. God knows you're going to have things that are problems and things that you need to have answers for. So he says when you get those things, don't hang on to them and drop down or buy into this worry or anxiety here, because Satan will really compound that. But rather, he says, by prayer and supplication with asking. Supplication is asking. So Paul says, don't hang on to it yourself, but ask God about it. Don't hang on to it, but he says, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Lord, I'm thankful for these things that have happened in my life, because they always work out. I mean, you have a way of working them out to good to them that love God and them who are thee called according to his purpose. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, even though I don't understand why this is here. I don't know how it's going to come out. But you know what? I'm thankful that not only do I have things in my life that refine me, but I'm also thankful that I have a place to go with every concern that I have. With everything that happens to me, I can turn to you. And so that's the idea in the vernacular there. And he says in verse 7, and the peace of God which passes understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The word keep there is a military term. I've said it before. It means, it's the phrase that soldiers would use when they build a garrison. So when the soldiers, you know, travel across country and they went and they build a, you know, Fort McHenry or Fort Boone or whatever else, the first thing they do is build a stockade or a garrison. And the idea was to protect them, their supplies, their families, and the weapons, and also to establish themselves on the ground. And it was also to keep the enemy out. So that's what Paul says. And the peace of God which passes understanding shall keep your hearts. He does not say that you need to do this. He says that when you present your needs right to God, He'll do this. The peace of God will actually do this. It's actually active on your part, because now peace is not the absence of anything. It is the presence of someone. And therefore, he said, He shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, this is what you want to buy into. This is what you want to invest in. Things that are true, things that are honest, things that are just, things that are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there's any praise, think on these things. And these things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, and do. And the peace of God shall be with you. If you're going to buy into anything, buy into things that are true. If you're going to invest in anything, invest in things that are virtuous. And when you invest in them, you got to possess them. You got to go get them, and you got to own them and unwrap them, and you got to begin to use them like they're yours. And that's what they are. They're yours. Whatsoever things are like that. It might be a sermon. It might be It might be anything that's edifying. It might be friendship with somebody. It might be, sometimes, you just feel led to call up somebody and say, listen, hey, why don't we get together on Friday night and we just get together and have a little fellowship, or, let our kids play and just be able to fellowship some. And you know what? There's strength in that. When we come together in the right way, for the right reasons, there's strength in that, and there's edification in that. How many would agree? I think we probably don't do enough of it because, the enemy keeps us so busy by the time Friday night rolls around here. And, it's pretty bad. And I get that. I understand that. But nonetheless, the things that Paul says that we should invest in, you should invest in them and not the other things. Because there's always other things that you can invest in. It sounds really simple. But let me tell you something. There is a strength that comes. It's not then in survival mode, but there's a joy that comes when we invest in the right things. And these things are in a sense, are surrounding us to keep our minds. Because once we go the opposite way and we start to deal in that other realm, we drop down to that other realm where there is anxiety. Anxiety infects your joy. It infects your joy. When you've embraced something that's inferior, it has an influence in your life. It's kind of like prayerlessness. Jesus and the scriptures teach this, that ye have not because ye ask not. And there really are things that we lack because we do not ask God for them. Jesus also told us, he said, pray that you don't enter into temptation. There's many things that we are capable of resisting, but I believe that there are things we wind up fighting, or needless battles that we deal with and fight with when we don't really need to deal with them at all. Because we have not done what the scripture teaches us to do, and that is pray that we don't enter into temptation. I think there are some battles that we fight that would be needless, that are needless. There are things that we encounter that are needless because we haven't paved the way asking God to take those temptations away. Many of us are strong enough to deal with a lot of temptations that come our way. They're just a nuisance, and you seem to be always dealing with them and so forth. But, I mean, the scripture says, pray that we don't enter into temptation. So, therefore, it seems to me like it would be better for us to, number one, ask God, because you'll never receive until you ask God. And number two, I'd like to avoid some of the skirmishes that I have to deal with by asking him to help me avoid temptation along the way. I'm on a mission. I got things to do, right? We have a cause. Everybody know where you're going? Right? We don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know where I'm going. And tomorrow might be good. Tomorrow might be passive, I hope. But tomorrow might be filled with all kinds of other news that we never expected here. Brother Aaron, Sister Elizabeth are going up for a funeral up in Lynchburg, right? I didn't get all the details, but you're going up to Virginia for a funeral up there. Somebody died suddenly, 40 years old or somewhere in his 40s. And a husband of children. And, these days you have no idea. You can't sit there and predict, well, the rest of my week's going to be good. You ought not say that. Just like you should never say, my kids will never do that. You should never say that. But let me tell you something. It's not approaching things, no matter what it is that we approach. It's not going at it with reluctance. But it's rather going through it with a confidence. But, Lord, on my journey, on my way, no matter what I encounter, Lord, take away. Bind the hands of the enemy and take away those temptations that are along the way. I don't want to have to fight needlessly or expend extra energy on things that really don't matter. I want to just go past that, to the cause that you've ordained me to fulfill. I want to fulfill God's purpose in my life. I want to do that. I don't want to have enmity along the way. I don't want to have, trouble along the way. But, Lord, give me a clear path as possible. How does that come? That comes because you pray that way. But it also comes, too, because you realize that when it comes to the creation, you realize and accept that God has made you everything you are, and there'll never be anyone else like you. God has raised you up as an individual to do exactly what he's intended or he's ordained and no one else is going to take your place. You remember Brother Branham often saying, he said, you know, I can't be Billy Graham. You know, Billy Graham is Billy Graham. And Oral Roberts, he does a certain job to do, born a certain way, has a certain kind of a faith, has a certain kind of approach to the Word, has a philosophy or a thinking about the Word of God. And they're made a certain way. He says, I'm made a different way altogether. And he was not ashamed of that. But I would believe this, saints of God, that rather than sit there and try to wish you were someone else, I think it's a great thing that when you come to realize God created me as I am to be who I am, once you realize that, that you're ordained as a son or a daughter of God, you'll never want to be someone else. That's a rest that only the people of God have. To whom would we go? He said, He's the only eternal happiness and joy and peace. What more can I say? My peace I give unto you. He's the only peace and the only happiness. Oh, you might laugh like a loon, go into hysterics over some movie star, but you're only making a noise and it soon wears off. In a few minutes, that's all gone. Watch. But when a man comes to a place where he has found the joy that there is of knowing that his sins are forgiven, that he is dead and his life is hid in God through Christ, he's sealed by the Holy Ghost, it's joy unspeakable and full of glory in the power of the eternal God, knowing that you're resting securely in His love and grace. When I can realize that God has created me to be who I am, and that not even knowing, naturally coming into this world, God elected me from before the foundation of the world. And you come to the place where you know that your sins are forgiven. My sins are forgiven. They're gone. And that we are dead and our life is hid in God through Christ, sealed by the Holy Spirit, it's joy unspeakable. Notice what Brother Branham doesn't say. When a man comes to a place where there is no commotion in his home, his children do everything he tells them, his car never breaks down, and there always is enough money in the checking account, then it's joy unspeakable and full of glory. That's not what it says. Because this joy unspeakable he's referring to, and the Bible refers to, is not an absence of turmoil. It is the presence of Christ in your life. It is a redeemed person back to God. It is a person who's filled with the Holy Spirit. That's joy unspeakable and full of glory in the power of the eternal God, knowing that you're resting securely in His love and grace. Whether I'm on this side or the other side, it doesn't really matter. The inventory is taken care of, right? I mean, you know, I'm accounted for one way or the other, whether it's in this side or the other side. So if I'm not here on Sunday, you know where I'll be, right? Someone told me to stop that. I was joking too much about that. Sorry. But let me say this. I'll be real honest with you. I don't have any fear about the future. I don't have any fear about where we're heading to. Based on putting your finger in the water and testing the temperature now, things are not getting any better. Does anybody want to talk about national debt? Anybody want to talk about politics or the weapons of the world or whatever else? I mean, if we gauge things by taking a test now compared to how it was 20 years ago or even when Brother Branham was here, and Brother Branham only described these things. He was not living in them. He was describing that they were coming. The seeds of those things were already sown and they were coming. But they didn't have the national debt back there that we have today. Although he knew they were doing the way the politics was going to work out, that they were, you know, spending money that they didn't have and going to tax collect it 40 years up the road and so on. Hey, we're way beyond that. We're way beyond that. So if that's the case, there's a certain amount of trepidation. There's a certain amount of, you know, a feeling of, does my face explain it? You know, like, what is it that's up ahead? We really don't know. I mean, we don't know what's going to feel like, look like, or how we're going to have to act, or what we're going to have to give up by the time we get to the place where our bodies are going to be changed. But I will tell you honestly, I'm not afraid of that. I'm not afraid of that only because this second paragraph here is my testimony. That's our story. We're forgiven of our sins. We're in Christ. It's not me that lives, but Christ lives in me. And now it's His life in God through Christ, sealed by the Holy Ghost, that's joy unspeakable and full of glory. Listen, this is something only believers really can understand or relate to. It's something I think we should give God thanks for. Let's have our musicians just slip up here if you don't mind. This is something that I think is important for us to realize that, you know what, God's got all this in His divine plan. Let me leave you with two simple statements, all right? Brother Branham said in Recognizing Your Day in 1964, he said, God created me a revival, and let me be the revival. Let each one of us be the revival. Make me, Lord, to hunger. Make me to thirst. And create in me, Lord, what is needed in me. Create in me what is needed in me. And the last statement, hear ye him. God will in me thy will to do. God will in me thy will to do. Make my will thy will. And make thy will my will. Create in me, Lord, a greater hunger. Create in me and this church, your body. Create in us the spirit of your sons and daughters. Make us real. Make us real. We love you. Give us of your spirit. God, will in me thy will to do. Let's stand. Will in me. Let's say it this way. Lord, may your Holy Spirit that lives in me, may it will to do only the Father's business. Just make me have a passion, a love for the Father's will. Just make me really want to do it. Make me really want to fall in love with whatever He has for me. And you know what? The good, the bad, the hard, the difficult, the narrow, the blessings, the joy, the peace, all of it, we're going to give God thanks for all of it. Because there's nothing that happens in your life by chance. Nothing. God knows the end from the beginning. He knows exactly how things are going to turn out even before they take a turn. And His grace, you know what? No matter what you do, no matter where you find yourself, His grace is always sufficient. Let's sing it. He's got it all in control. Sing it one more time now. Just make it your prayer. He's got it all in control. Yes, He's got it all in control. And He puts that reassurance deep down in my soul. All of my upon you. Sing it again now. Yes, I cast all my cares upon you. And I lay all of my burdens down at your feet. Anytime I don't know just what to do, I will cast all my cares upon you. He is able, more than able, to accomplish what concerns me today. He is able, time. Everybody just close your eyes now. He is a... Just worship Him tonight, saints. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Just make it personal now. Up now, if you have a request to Him tonight, something you'd like to give Him and believe that He's more than able. You may not, because if you could, you would. If you could figure it out or fix it, you would. But you got to rest in the fact that He's well on His way to fixing that problem, to answering that prayer, to helping you through the next day. Heavenly Father, as we bow our heads and our hearts in prayer and our hands are raised, I believe, Lord, there are people who are listening tonight, Lord, that need Your touch as well. Father, we bind our faith together now. We just reach out to You, Lord Jesus, believing that You hear us and that You care about us, that, Lord, You have forgiven us. Lord, we are new creatures in Christ. And, Lord, there's harmony between us and You. There's shalom between us and You. Lord, we live in a time when a world that truly is falling apart, Lord. It hasn't completely gone yet, Lord, because there's a people here. And You have Your eye upon that people. And Lord, you know just exactly what we have need of tonight, Lord. So every one of us, Lord, it doesn't matter that we all mouth our requests out loud to You. But Lord, You can read our hearts and You can know our minds. And I pray tonight You go deep. Go deep in the hearts of Your children, Lord. Go deep in the hearts of those that are in mourning, those that are hurting, those, Lord, who are facing tests, those who are facing funerals, those, Lord, who are dealing with trauma and difficulties in their life, Lord, and there are many. It just seems like it's in abundance, Lord, and I know there are seasons for this, but, Father, we just, during that time, we want to bind our faith together now and just bring not only our requests, but everyone's requests. We bring them all to you, Lord. We bring them all to your altar and say, Father, deal with us, not according to your judgment, Lord, but deal with us according to your mercies. And Lord, you might just bring peace and pour oil upon troubled waters. There might be a calmness within our souls. And Lord, no matter what we face, in this life we're not looking for great, calm circumstances. But Lord, as long as the Prince of Peace walks with us and in us, we know everything's going to be okay. Everything's going to be all right. So no matter what our future looks like, no matter what doctors tell us, no matter what politicians tell us, no matter what the economy tells us, Lord, it doesn't, none of that really, really matters eternally. What matters, Lord, is that your word promises us that you'd never, ever leave us or forsake us. And as a bride that's rising up, there's a power in her that, Lord, I believe is able to face the future. And Father, I pray now you just give each one peace, each family that's represented here, Lord. Lord, we think of Sister Connie just lost her brother, Lord, and Ethan and Anna tonight. We just bring their names before the throne of grace and mercy. We mention Brother Larry, Lord, and we speak peace in his heart. We pray, Lord, for your healing touch in his life. Pray, dear God, that you would touch Brother Ron Spencer tonight. Sister Shirley Lingle, Lord, who's dealing with the loss of her brother-in-law. Father, the Cockman family, and just so many other situations, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, we commit them to you. Lord, we're not always praying outward, but in this house tonight, in this place, there are things, Lord, that we just pray you touch, things that you would deal with, wounds that you would heal. Forgive us as we forgive others. And we ask these things, Lord, not because we are worthy, not at all, but Lord, we ask them because you told us to come and ask. You told us to ask that our joy might be full. You told us to seek first the kingdom. And I just pray that you would just minister in every heart, in every soul. Bless our young people, Lord, and the decisions and choices that lay ahead of them. I commit them to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. Yes, I need you, Lord, right now. We need you, Lord. We need you, Lord. We need you, Lord, right now. Yes, we need you, Lord. We need you, Lord.
is my Lord. There is no other one who can calm the storms of life. He's my Lord. There is no other who can calm the storms of life like my Lord. Jesus, draw me close, closer, Lord, to you. Let this world around me fade away. Jesus, draw me close, closer, Lord, to you. I desire to worship and obey.
Heavenly Father, we pray now that you would dismiss us with your blessing and your favor. That, Lord, you would give strength for the days ahead until we meet again. And that, Lord, you'd minister to all those who are reaching out to you tonight in faith. Lord, we don't deserve the good things that we enjoy, but we thank you for them. And we worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, we pray that you would just help us, Lord, to be strong, be solid in the days ahead of us, that, Lord, we might be prepared to take that last step into the kingdom. granted, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' lovely name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you tonight as you go. Thank you for bringing such a lovely atmosphere with you tonight. Appreciate that.
Speed.